she's not here anymore.
No.
Wait a minute. With your permission, since we do believe the way the Zohar says that Beit HaMikdash is supposed to come from upstairs instantly, and the Zohar says if Mashiach will come and we will have the merit, the zchut to build Beit HaMikdash, it's not as good if the actual Beit HaMikdash will come downstairs. That's what we say at the end of 18, Aron Nusach Yi Ratzon Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avotenu Shetivne Beit HaMikdash, not Sheibane. Some people say Sheibane, Zohar says no. You have to say Shetivne. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should build it. As Rashi in Masechet Sukkah says, that the Beit HaMikdash hopefully will be in that level that we don't have to build it. It's going to come from Shamayim, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us food in the desert 40 years from Shamayim, man. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw stones in Sefer Yoshua on the Goyim, says the Gemara, Hashem will throw on them when Mashiach will come. So actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bring down Beit HaMikdash. Remember Beit HaMikdash, so we have to know if Bezrat Hashem will be before Pesach. I was in Eretz Israel on Sunday night. I went to see Rav Steinman. I think he's 100 years old. So I walk inside, I say, Shalom, my name is Aderet. He says, excuse me. I says, you know, the Gemara says, on Chodesh Nisan, we were redeemed. And on Chodesh Nisan, we're going to be redeemed. Would you know where Mashiach is? That was his statement to me. 100 years old man. He didn't ask me anything else. He says, when is Mashiach coming? He said, Mashiach is supposed to come on Chodesh Nisan, the Gemara says. So Mashiach comes on Chodesh Nisan, given Beit HaMikdash, we have to know what is the obligation. And the first obligation, the way it says in the Torah, is you have to bring a sheep or a goat to Beit HaMikdash. This sheep and the goat is different than all the other sacrifices that we know. The first thing, this is the halacha, that in Beit HaMikdash, every morning with the open Beit HaMikdash, the first thing that was supposed to be sacrificed is a sheep. You cannot do anything in Beit HaMikdash unless you sacrifice a sheep. That's called Tamid Shel Shachar. It's called something that was done daily, always. Doesn't matter what day. Shabbat, Chagim, Moadim, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. Beit HaMikdash was open. They took a sheep, they slaughtered the sheep. They put it on the altar. Then people used to bring their own sacrifices. Nobody can bring anything before the sheep was sacrificed. But Beit HaMikdash was closed late afternoon, and the last thing that was done in Beit HaMikdash was another sheep that's called Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Used to be slaughtered about 3.5 hours before sunset. At least Beit HaMikdash was done. You cannot bring any sacrifice to Beit HaMikdash but only between those two sheep. The one in the morning, the one in the afternoon. After the one in the afternoon was sacrificed, the Kohanim is to clean Beit HaMikdash, close it up. the sacrifice of Pesach is different. That had to be sacrificed after the last sheep. During the year, when the Kohanim used to sacrifice the last sheep daily, it can be a line of 100 people, 100,000 people, 1 million people standing on line. I want to bring to Hashem something. It says, tomorrow, mañana. But I mean, that she's closed. What are you talking about? There are 3.5 hours left for the day. You cannot sacrifice the time to Beit HaMikdash. Only during the day you have to sacrifice. Nighttime at the HaMikdash was closed. So here I'm standing online. There's 100 people in front of me. I have to give, I want to bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a sacrifice. Because it's too late. 3.5 hours before sunset, they're going to slaughter this sheep. It's called Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. Can't bring any more to Beit HaMikdash. The only time that you not only allowed to bring it, but you have to, it's called Korban Pesach. It's either a sheep or a goat, the person has to bring it. The one he rolled up to one he rolled. He says, you bring it to Beit HaMikdash. He said, you have to stand online. He said, can I bring it? He said, you can't bring it. You can don't bring it inside. He said, when shall I bring it? After the last sheep is going to be sacrificed. He said, what is this? This is 3.5 hours. With Erev Pesach, he used to do it before. A few hours. But, again, this is the last sacrifice going to be sacrificed on that day. This is the day before Pesach. This is on the 14th day of Chodesh Nisan. Sacrifice it. Fine. So I do it. Comes the Gemara and says, you know, if you want to know the number of Jewish people in time of Beit HaMikdash, how many people were there? The information that we have, if you have Yosef ben Matityahu in his book, and you have other information in the Gemara, we're talking about millions of Jews. Millions of Jews. In second Beit HaMikdash. In the first one, were much more than millions and millions. Were hundreds of millions. Second Beit HaMikdash, one time, in the time of King Agrippa, they wanted to make a status, they want to make a situation, they want to know how many Jews are there in Eretz Israel. So usually, most of the people used to come Pesach, you have to do Korban Pesach. They came, and after they slaughtered all those sheep and goats, they counted the kidneys. They found out there were millions of people coming to Beit HaMikdash. Can you imagine millions of people coming to Beit HaMikdash? And people come with the sheep and the goat? And you have only 2-3 hours to sacrifice all of them. It's not even possible to think about it. But Beit HaMikdash itself was a very small place, even though there were a lot of Kohanim there. He used to do the job the way Yosef Matityahu writes in his book. But still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we should squeeze those sheep to be slaughtered and sacrificed in a very limited time. Usually, again, you want to bring a sacrifice to Beit HaMikdash, you can be there after sunrise, half an hour, online, the Kohanim are there ready to do it for you. Sacrifice of Pesach, you cannot come in the morning. You cannot come in the afternoon. You have to come late afternoon. Late. This is why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do such a thing, that this sacrifice has to be sacrificed the last thing on that day, and almost no more time to do anything in Beit HaMikdash, and millions of people standing outside with the sheep, and they all have to go inside, they all have to take this sheep or the goat, and prepare it, it's called to eat it at night time. It means like this. You cannot sacrifice at night, you may sacrifice only during the day. But after you sacrifice it, you cannot eat it. This is also very special halacha about this sacrifice. That thing, even if you slaughter it in the afternoon, you have it ready, you want to prepare it to eat, you're allowed to prepare it. You cannot eat it. So when you have to eat it, only at night time. That's what we say in Leila Seder. Pesach ze shayu ochlim avotenu al shuma. It says the sacrifice is called Pesach. When do you have to eat it? At night. But when do you slaughter it? During the day. Can I eat it between the time I slaughter it, the time of the night time? No, you can't. Only at night. There's no such thing in any other sacrifice that you cannot eat it during the day. Only at night time. Very strange. Now, the preparation, how to eat it. And there's no other sacrifice that you have condition how to eat it. How do you eat it? You cook it, you barbecue it, you can do whatever you want with it. Korban Pesach is different. Again, it's the only one. What you have to do it, you may not fry it, you may not cook it. What you got to do is only barbecue it. How to barbecue it? Also very strange. You may not cut the sheep or the goat. Has to be the whole one. After the Kohen slaughtered it, then they skin it, and then they put a piece of a branch from a pomegranate tree. The branches are very strong. They feed the branch through the sheep. They make a fire underneath it. You cannot cut the sheep to pieces and barbecue it on a barbecue. Has to be the whole thing with his head, with all the things inside it. Just open up the stomach, clean the dirt of the sheep or the goat, but then you have to hang it on top of a fire, and then it's called tzliya, it's called like barbecue. That's it. You cannot fry it, you cannot cook it. You say, what's the problem? What's the problem? This is no other sacrifice. You have those kind of conditions that you have to fry it. And if you have to fry it, I'm sorry, to barbecue it. You're not allowed to fry it. This is any other sacrifice, you can do whatever you wish. You can cook it in betamigdash with pots and with frying pans. You can do anything you want with this, with the meat over here, no. But not only that you cannot do it, it says, okay, let me cut it to pieces. Let me barbecue it. You cannot barbecue it like this. You have to take a branch of a pomegranate tree, hang this sheep or the goat, feed this. The Gemara says they fed that branch through the mouth, came out from the other side of the sheep and the goat, and they hung it on two stands, and on the bottom was fire. And it says that's how you can eat it. You can't do anything to it. You cannot fry it. That's it. It says, excuse me. First of all, I don't like it. Secondly, I don't know if it's going to be cooked enough like this way. It's going to get burned this way. That's the halacha. That's how to do it. Very strange. This is the next strange thing. Then, in Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us another condition. It says, you have to know, in Egypt, after we slaughter the goat or the sheep, then like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, at night time you eat it. Okay, fine. How do I eat it? Usually, when a person wants to have a meal, he makes himself comfortable. He sits down, takes off his jacket, he has something on the table. The Rambam says, listen, when you have a meal, you have to be relaxed. The Rambam writes in his book, if you're nervous, something is bothering you, you're under pressure, it's not good for your system. Don't eat. Till you calm down, says the Rambam, don't eat. The system can get ruined if your stomach will work on the food in you angry. The secret behind it is because the Gemara says anger comes from the liver of the person. Kavet koes. And the person gets upset and says, what makes the person upset inside himself? Says the Gemara, the liver. So the liver is upset. So people, for example, people say, you know, when somebody gets upset, his blood pressure goes up. I said, what do you mean the blood pressure goes up? What makes it up? Of course, we know that the liver produces the blood, and if somebody is angry, it says, it means the Gemara says the liver is angry. So actually the liver is shooting the blood, and this is how they get some high blood pressure. That's what Rambam writes. You know, if you're upset, if something is bothering you, don't eat now. And the reason is because you have a clash in the system inside, from the liver to the rest of the parts in the body. Comes the Torah and says, you know, in Egypt before we left, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us another condition. Upon all the other, if we may say this strange halachot, if we may say Chas V'Shalom is not strange, we'll be try to understand what's behind it. Hashem said, V'chacha tochlu oto. This time in Egypt, what you got to do is prepare yourself to eat this way. What do you do? Motnechem chagurim. Please put your belt on with your pants on. What we call chagor male if you went to the army. It means you're all ready. Na'alechem beraglechem. Put your shoes on. Umakelchem biyadchem. Hold the stick in your hand. And with the other hand, you're going to eat it. What a strange thing. Can you imagine? You go to somebody's house. He says he's having dinner. He says he's having his suit and his belt and his shoes. Of course, in our time, everybody has shoes. But those days, they didn't have shoes only when they had to go on a trip. He says they had to have shoes on and they're holding a stick in the hand. I don't believe it. When I eat, I have a fork in my hand. Hashem said, no, makelchem biyadchem. You have to, v'chachach tochlu oto. He says, you got to eat this way. V'achaltem oto b'chipazon pesach u'lashem. There's the Gemara, no, okay, now listen. Baruch Hashem, I'm having dinner. I says, this is the night of Exodus. We live in Egypt. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'achaltem oto b'chipazon. You have to gobble. You have to gobble the dinner. You can't just eat it nicely with your fork, eat, enjoy it, says it. V'achaltem oto b'chipazon. He says, Pesach Mitzrayim ne'echal b'chipazon. He says, in Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced us to eat while we're holding a stick, while we're having shoes on, and we have to eat it fast. We have to eat it fast. I said, why do you have to eat it fast? What's the rush? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the night is long. You cannot leave Egypt before the morning. Says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had its own reason. His own reason, he said, he did not want us to leave at night time. People should not say we ran away. Other reasons maybe. But anyway, we slaughtered the sheep in the afternoon the day before we left Egypt. And we have 24 hours until we leave. Maybe a little bit less than 24, 14 hours, 15 hours. We slaughtered the sheep, we barbecued the sheep. After three stars came out, it's called Tzeta Kochavim, you can eat it. It's ready. Sir, have the stick in your hand. How can I eat with my stick in my hand? And it says, not only that, V'achaltem oto b'chipazon. The Torah says, fast! Fast, for what fast? What's the rush? Where am I going to? That's the halacha that was given to us in Egypt. That halacha about eating in fast and having the stick in the hand was only in Egypt. But all the other halachot that we mentioned are forever. If Mashiach comes this year, we'll know what to do with the Hamikdash. We have to come with the sheep. And the sheep has to be slaughtered. The last thing in Beit Hamikdash, after the regular sheep that they used to bring daily in Beit Hamikdash was sacrificed, then we have to just barbecue it. And we cannot eat it until nighttime. Very strange that I cannot eat it until nighttime. What is nighttime? Every sacrifice, after you sacrifice it, if it's edible, you're allowed to eat immediately after the sacrifice. After the slaughter it, the sacrifice it on the altar, part of it, the rest of the animal, you're allowed to eat immediately. And there's no condition how to eat it and how to cook it. Here comes the Torah forever, cannot be cooked. Cannot be fried, has to be barbecue, a full sheep, you cannot cut it to pieces. Not only that, the Gemara says, you know, it's a very strange halacha as well, that you have to finish the whole sheep. You cannot just barbecue it, and then who's going to eat it? So the Kohen, before he slaughtered it, whoever slaughtered it, he has to ask you, he says, who is going to finish that sheep or the goat? He says, me and my family. She says, how many are you? We are six people. He says, six people? Are you going to finish 100 pounds of meat? No. Before he slaughtered the animal, he had to make sure there's enough people here that they will be able to consume the whole animal. As he said, no other sacrifice. You bring to the Tamikdash, the Kohen would ask you, excuse me, who's going to eat it? And he says, the Kohen, you tell the Kohen, sir, mind your own business. It's not your business. It's my sacrifice. If it's edible, if I finish it, fine. There's a time limit. How long am I allowed to eat the meat of the sacrifice? If I'm done, I'm not done. If I can give it to somebody, I give it to somebody. No, here, no. Before they slaughter the animal, they have to know who is going to eat the animal. Not who is going to eat it. It means that according to the Kohen, he has to estimate it. And to look around and see how many people are here, as all of you. I said, you see this goat? This is 100, 150 pounds of meat. Who is going to eat it? He says, you can't tell him I don't care, because he wants a slaughter of it. And not only that, you cannot bring people afterwards. Before the slaughtered animal, you have to have all the people around it. He says, we're all partners in it. Doesn't matter if you paid, you didn't pay, but you say, I am going to nominate myself on this sheep or this goat, and I'm responsible for X amount of meat that I'm going to eat. And this is my child, this is my wife, there's no problem. As long as you have enough people that they can say and guarantee the Kohen is going to finish the meat, you're going to slaughter it. It's not going to slaughter it. It's halacha. The Gemara said, you know, a few old people from the nursing home, they got themselves a sheep, they came to Beit HaMikdash. The Kohen said, who is the owner of this sheep? So the people said, you know, we, he said, 100 years old, 150 years old. He said, we all came. He said, listen, you cannot have nothing. You, what do you have? 27 grams? He said, 27, you have 150 pounds of meat. He says, you better go with people before I slaughter it, that they guarantee they're going to be partners with you to finish it. I'm not slaughtering it for you. You can't stand over there with your sheep. Kohen will not slaughter it for you. Hey, what is the problem exactly? I have to eat it. Why do I have to eat it? If I eat, I eat. I don't eat. Other sacrifice of Beit HaMikdash was constantly. People brought the sacrifice of Beit HaMikdash, something edible. So there's a time limit. How long am I allowed to have it, to eat it? It's 1 day or 2 days. After that, whatever is left over, they burn it. Finished. Here they won't slaughter it. They won't slaughter it. So who is going to, what's your business? Who's going to eat it? It's my sheep. It's my goat. I will try. No. In America, I don't try. It's either you do or you don't do. Really, when we read the Torah, in Sefer Bereshit, we have a story in Sefer Bereshit. And Avraham Avinu, as I said, Machloket, how old was he? He was even 73 or 52. And the Torah says, all of a sudden, the first world war happened in the world. Four kings against five kings. And the Torah tells you the name of the kings, not exactly the names, maybe nicknames of this of those kings, like it's important. And what state those kings ruled. Comes the Torah and says, Vahibi me Amrafel Melech Shinar. I want to tell you a story. It was the time the king of Shinar, his name was Amraphel. Comes the Gemara and says, no, it's no Amraphel, there's no such thing in the name of Amraphel, it's a nickname. And there's no place, it's called Shinar. Amraphel is a nickname of somebody that he was, if we may say, the first Saddam Hussein in Iraq. His real name was Nimrod. And the country that he ruled was Babel. Iraq. But the Torah says that man, nickname is Amraphel, his real name in his passport was Nimrod, and the reason why they called him Amraphel, Amar le'Avraham, Paul. Avraham told Avraham Avinu, go inside the fire. This guy Nimrod threw Avraham Avinu when Avraham was 48 into a fire, because Avraham Avinu believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Nimrod said, my God is fire. If your God is God, the way you claim, let God take you out of the fire. That's called Ur Kasdim. Hashem took Abraham out of the fire. He says, who threw him into the fire? The king of Iraq. His name was Nimrod. Iraq at that time was called Babel. But the Torah, when the Torah talks about it, Torah calls him Amraphel Melech Shinar. Says the Gemara, what do you call it? Shin Afu? Gemara says, you know what? In the time of Noah was a Mabul, a flood. Where do you think ended up all the bodies of the people died in the Mabul? Says the Gemara, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought them to Iraq, to Babel. It's called Ninaruba, Ninaru Letocham Metei HaMabul. It says, all the dead ones, while Noah was in the Teva, all the people died. It says, where are the bodies? Who buried those bodies? Where are the bodies? We're talking about hundreds of thousands, millions of people. It says, they all ended up in the valley in Babel. Arioch Melech Elasar was another king. His name was Arioch. Again, probably is a nickname. Melech Elasar, it was a state Elasar. You don't know where it is. Kedar Laomer Melech Elam. Another king, his name is Kedar Laomer, the king of Iran. Elam is Iran. Vetidal Melech Goim. A king, his name was Tidal, was the king of a place called Goim. Asu Milchama. They made a war against five kings. The king of Zdom, king of Amora, king of Adma, king of Atzvoim, and king of Tzoar. Let's say the Torah is going to tell you what's going on in the front. You have five kings against five kings. Four kings against five. The four are winning. That's just the text. You read the Torah, Parashat Lech Lecha. And the Torah says that the four are winning. And the Torah says what they did is they took a lot of people to captivity. They took among them Lot, Abraham's nephew, Abraham's brother-in-law. A person, a refugee, came. Says the Gemara was Og Melech HaBashan. He came and told Abraham, you know, your nephew, your brother-in-law were kidnapped. Abraham Avinu went and took Eliezer and said, let's go, we run. Let's go run and try to save my brother-in-law out of captivity. Says the Gemara, Avraham Avinu had no ammunition, had no swords. He just ran after them, chased them until the middle of the night. He was able to bring Lot back. This is a story in the Torah. When you read the Torah, you think the Torah tells you a story. It says, what is the purpose? The Torah is holy. This is one letter is missing, or extra letter is missing in the story, the Torah Pasul. Torah is Pasul. It says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to learn, what happened a few thousand years ago, there was a war, four against five, four are winning, then Avram goes, and so-called win the war, he's able to bring back Lot. In that story also, the Torah says, emphasize, you should know, the four kings won the war against the five kings. Not only they won them, they took all the food along with them. It means if you tell about the army, for example, you say Israel won 1967. So Israel won, and Israel also not only won the Arabs, Israel went and took all the food from the Arabs. But who cares about the food now? Not only that, the Torah says when Abraham Avinu ran and chased them until the middle of the night, he was able to bring back Lot, his nephew, few people as well that were kidnapped, and brought back the food. That's also important. That Abraham Avinu won the four kings, was able to release his brother-in-law, but to emphasize, he brought back the food. Who cares about the food? Come the Gemara, Rabotai, and tells us the following. Should know in our lifetime, we should know the truth. The Jews always suffered. But the suffering of the Jews mainly were and are from four entities. The first entity is Babel, is Iraq. This is Nebuchadnezzar, Yimach Shemo, the first Saddam Hussein, destroyed first Beit HaMikdash, killed hundreds of millions of Jews, and took us to Babel, to Iraq. Then, while we were in Iraq, Iran, we called Paras Romadai, took over, it's Achashverosh. After Iran took over, Greece took over, this is Yavon. And after Greece was Rome, the Jewish people suffered in the history from those four major kingdoms, if you may say, Arba Malchuyot, and that after the whole thing will finish, Mashiach will come. Says the Gemara, you should know, when the Torah tells you the story about the First World War, this is the root of all the wars in the world, and this is the history where the Jews are going to go through. And that's what the Torah tells you. Vahibi me Amraphel Melech Shinar. I want to tell you a story. Was a king. His name is Amraphel. He's really Nimrod. It says the guy that took Avraham Avinu through into the fire. He says he's the king of Babel. You should know it. Hints to you. And it tells you the first tragedy you're going to have as a nation is from that part of the world. It's called Iraq. I don't think it's coincident that Saddam Hussein threw missiles to Israel. It says not only that, the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is sorry that he created Iraq. He's not sorry he created Egypt, but he's sorry about Iraq. He is sorry in our time, says the Gemara, that he created all the Arabs. So the second in command after is going to be Iran. It says, Kedalarom Melech Elam. He's the second king with the second state. That's what the Jews suffered in the time of Haman. And the third one is Ayoch Melech Elasar. This is what the Jews suffered in the time of Greece, the Ivanim. And the fourth one, says the Torah, Tid'al Melech Goim, says the Gemara, it means the Romans, they ruled the whole world. Asum Ulchama, they made a war against five kings. Says Rabbi Nobachaye, says Ari, says the Zohar, you know, Sdom, Amora, Admat, Zvoim, and Zohar, this is those neshamot that lived over there, this is us. Us. So those four are chasing five, and they win the five, because the five are very small. The four are big, strong nations, resembled what we're going to go through. You know, when this war did go on, the night of Pesach. Says the Gemara, and you want to know that Avraham Avinu chased them and was able to take back Lot from captivity. Says the Gemara, was the night of Pesach. Comes the Gemara and tells you, comes the Navi and tells you, let me tell you things that happened on the night of Pesach in the history of the Jews, something that we know for sure happened on the night of Pesach. Says, you know, the second Saddam Hussein, his name was Sancheriv, was a powerful king. He was able not only to capture the world, but to maneuver all the countries. And he took the people from one country and sent them to the other side of the world. He was able to take 10 tribes and put them behind a river called Sambatyam. Some Chachamim said it's in Tibet. Some Chachamim say it's someplace else under Yemen. He says, we are only from two tribes, Yehuda and Binyamin. 10 tribes, this Sancheriv, not only captured Eretz Israel, he was able to kill all the soldiers. He took 10 tribes and pushed them away to the other side of the world. The Machlok and the Gemara, Mashiach will come. How many of them will come back? Our brothers. I said, this guy, Sancheriv, the second Saddam Hussein, came to Yerushalayim after he took the 10 tribes and shipped them away. And he's on the way to capture Yerushalayim to destroy Beit HaMikdash. Yishayahu HaNavi comes to Chizkiyahu HaMelech at the time. He says, don't worry. Hashem is going to finish him up. The night of Pesach, says Navi, Chizkiyahu went to sleep. In the morning, millions of soldiers dead in front of Yerushalayim. Happened the night of Pesach. Comes the Gemara and tells us, Nebuchadnezzar Rasha and Machshimo threw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into a fire. And they came alive. This was the night of Pesach. Daniel was thrown into a place with 350 lions. Dariabesh took him out the first night of Pesach. The first thing that happened the first night of Pesach is the miracle that Abraham so-called fought those four kings that really are the four nations that are going to give us a hard time. That night is going to release Lot. The Gemara says Lot is David HaMelech's grandfather. Matzati David Avdi Bezdom, says the Gemara, Nishmat David HaMelech, the Neshama of Mashiach. That is, David HaMelech was inside Lot. Lot is his grandfather. That happened the night of Pesach. It's not Pesach, we came out of Egypt. Came out of Egypt already, it's the second thing that happened on the night of Pesach. That actually, says the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so proud of Avraham Avinu, they decided by himself, just took one person with him to chase four kings. Can you explain it to me? Does it make sense to you? It's so small, Israel on the map, you cannot even see Israel. And then Israel has to fight the whole world. I heard from Rabbi Wein and Mansi. I said, every day you open the New York Times, you see something about Israel. Why don't you read anything about Nepal? What they want from the Jews? He says, the center of the world is because Hakol Bishvil Israel. Here it is. Always have to say something about Israel, he said. He says, Abraham is one. He is chasing four kings. He's not chasing four kings. He's trying to put down those four entities that eventually are going to bother his children. And that thing occurred on the night of Pesach, says the Torah. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? You, Abraham Avinu, you chased them and ran after them to save your nephew, your brother-in-law, that he had the soul of Mashiach. I'm going to continue that redemption the night of Pesach. And therefore, the night of Pesach and the Korban Pesach, this is the Pesach, this is the sacrifice, it's called Pesach. Pesach comes from the word jumping over. It's a very strange. Somebody's going to ask you, what's Pesach? I says, Pesach means, in Hebrew, it's called lifsoach, to jump over. I says, who jumped over? The Gemara, the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu jumped over the houses in Egypt. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to Egypt, Makat Bechorot, the Jews lived among the Egyptians, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped the houses. So for this, I have a holiday. It's called Pesach. Pesach. It's not Independence Day. It's not that we got to be free. It's, you know, it's Pesach. What's Pesach? Pesach means Hashem jumped over the house. What it means, if my neighbor from the two sides died and I survived, this is the miracle. That's not the miracle. The miracle that we came out of Egypt. But it's not Pesach. It's a sacrifice called Pesach. I said, go take the sheep. I said, what is this? This is the sheep of Pesach. I said, what is Pesach? Hashem jumped over. So Hashem jumped over. So I have to, what I have to do? I have to bring a sheep and I have to barbecue it and I have to eat it. I said, what do you eat? Pesach. What's Pesach? Pesach means jumping over. So let me tell you something. Everyone wants me to jump over. I'll jump over. Let us sit there. I'll jump over in the house. For what I have to take a sheep? Why do I have to eat the sheep? Because the Torah says, I want to explain to you something. See, the Gemara says, Hakol Bishvil Israel, you know, the whole world stands on the wisdom of Am Israel. The parnasa, the food that we have, and the economy, is because of the Jewish people. It says, Am Israel, when they behave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives parnasa to them first, and to the rest of the world second. When we don't behave, the parnasa goes via them to us. When the four kings won, to emphasize, it's not that just won the war against the five kings, against the Jews. They took the food away with them. It means they control now the economy. The Torah tells you, if the Jews behave like Avraham Avinu, if you're ready to go to a war and you're ready to sacrifice yourself to save your brother-in-law, that not only are you going to save him, but I emphasize, he was able to bring back the food. It means, again, the parnasa, the pipe that gives us the success is back to us. So the goyim, they're going to have because of us. We're not going to have it because of them. It's a major factor in the success of the Jewish people. So the Torah tells you, no, listen, that's what really happened the first night of Pesach. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to remember. It's not just we came out of Egypt. It says Egypt was a secondary so-called accident that Am Yisrael had to be with a conflict with the Goyim. It says the first thing happened in time of Avraham. Avraham, says the Gemara, jumped over. He ran to save his brother-in-law. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the fire to become a barbecue. The whole body of Avraham Avinu. According to some Chachamim, the day Avraham was thrown into the fire was also the night of Pesach. Four years before, the first world war occurred. And here comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now he paints the picture and tells us, I want to tell you something. The war happened at night time. At night time, Avraham Avinu was able to bring back the food. Avraham Avinu at that night was running. We don't know if he had a stick in his hand, but the Gemara says he had things in his hand that he threw on the enemy. He had his shoes on. He had his belt on. He saved the food and brought back the food. Sister Kadosh Baruch Hu, let me tell you something. The night of Pesach, that's what I want you to do. I want you to take a sheep. You know, that sheep should be sacrificed. The last thing about Hamikdash, she says, listen, there are millions of people standing online. Don't worry, says the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach you something, to show you how quick could you be. Says the Gemara, you know, the destination the person has to get, what's called Ruach HaKodesh, what's called Olam Haba, is the first condition in your lifetime is to see how quick you are. Zrizut, says Rabbeinu Moshe Chaim Lutzato in Sifro Mesilat Yesharim, that based on the Gemara, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair Omer, Torah meviyah lidei zirut, zirut meviyah lidei zrizut. The first positive thing that if a person wants to know if he is going to be successful in his lifetime is how quick you are, how long you spend in your shower, how long takes you dinner, breakfast, how long takes you to get dressed, how long takes you to walk someplace. Zrizut is the first condition of success. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us something in Egypt. I want you to explain to you something. It says, dinner, come, perfect. V'achaltem oto b'chi pazon. Hold a stick in your hand. Put your shoes on. Tie your belt on. It says, sounds like I'm going to run. True. You're not going to run. You're going to come out in the morning. Eat your supper quickly. Eat your thing. Just barbecue it. The whole thing. Like your grandfather was supposed to be barbecued the whole thing by the first Adam Hussein. His name was Nimrod. It says the whole idea is to remember the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us that we can be saved from millions and millions of soldiers and enemies, brave ones, that were able to capture five cities, take everybody in captivity, take the food. One single person, Avraham Ivri, says the Gemara, Messiah Belashon Ivri. He speaks Hebrew. He knows Hebrew. Avraham Ivri, says the Gemara, Me'ever Anahar. He says, one against the whole world, Emuna, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not afraid of nobody to tell him what he believes in. He says, he wins everybody. When? The night of Pesach. The night of Pesach, comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, listen, that's how you're going to do in Bet HaMikdash. Slaughtering in the afternoon. He says, not time. He says, what do you mean no time? He says, millions of people stay online here. He says, can we start today early? He says, no, today is a very special day. He says, you see all those millions of people? Everybody will have his turn. His sheep is going to be slaughtered on time. Kohanim zerizim hem. And Beit HaMikdash did everything quickly. 1, 2, 3. If you read Yosef Flavius, Yosef ben Matityahu, in his book, a description, what was done in the second Beit HaMikdash, and millions of people standing online. In a small place, it says the Kohanim, 1, 2, 3, all the animals were slaughtered. I says, don't eat it. He did it at night time. Because only at night time Avraham Avinu was able to get back his brother-in-law that carried the soul of Mashiach and bring back the food. Please, I want you to eat something from that animal that's called Pesach. Pesach means jumping. Who jumped first? Avraham Avinu jumped first, says the Gemara. Psiotav shel Avraham Avinu arba milin. The Gemara says Avraham jumped, ran from his tent. It says, who came over there? It says a refugee came and he told Avraham the news. This was before the CNN. Well, there's no those media. So the Gemara, the Torah says, "Vayavo ha-palit vayagid l'Avraham ha-Ivri." So somebody came and told Avraham, says, "What his name is?" The Torah doesn't say. But the Gemara says his name was Og. Says the Gemara, his name was Og. What kind of a name is that? The Gemara said, Og comes from the word Uga. It says, what Uga? Uga means a cake. But the Torah uses Uga as a matzah. Ugot matzot ki lo chametz. Says the Gemara, so what his name is Uga for? His name is Og. Well, Og is like the masculine of Uga. So what's Uga has to do with anything? So the Gemara says, when he, the refugee, came to the tent of Avraham Avinu and gave him the news, he says, your brother-in-law is in captivity. He went to the kitchen. Sarah was making matzot. That's why his name is Og, because of the matzot. What day was it? The night of Pesach. Sarah was making matzot. Sarah was making matzot, he said, that's why we have to have matzah. Sarah and Avraham already knew that the exodus of Egypt will come out of matzah. I said, Sarah was making matzot here. I said, this is a miniature exodus of the Jews that happened 400 years later. I said, happened to Avraham Avinu. On the night of Pesach, Kim Chachamim, he said, that's what you have to remember. I said, you have to remember how to eat the night of Pesach. I said, it's not enough just to eat a piece of meat. I said, you have to remember why you're eating it. I'm eating it, says the Gemara, because Avraham Avinu was able to take back and return to us the power that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have, is to control and to have the merit to supply food for everybody. The Torah says, listen, that's how you have to do it. You have to barbecue it, the whole thing. Like Avraham Avinu was supposed to be barbecue inside the fire. And it says, slaughter it first in time of Beit HaMikdash. Eat it first in time we were slaves in Egypt. It says, have something in your hand as a symbol for war. And then comes the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And in the text it says, Ve'ish amda l'avotenu. It says, b'chol dor v'dor. Everybody wants to do so. Who is everybody? What this has to do in the Haggadah? Simple explanation means, oh, well, the Egyptians. No, much deeper than that. It means every generation you have another entity. Either the Iraqis, either they are from Greece, on their families, either the Romans, or something from Iran that we have to die today, Baruch Hashem. It's not happened to be that this guy in Iran wants. This is the First World War, was a guy that was from Iran. It says, Kedala Omer, Melech Elam. You read the Torah, it says, who cares? Who were the four? I don't care who was in the time of Avraham Avinu, who had a fight. It says, it will come back to you. Everything comes back to you. The Torah only tells you how to handle the situation. It says, to win it, you have to be like Avraham Avinu. It says, Shfuch Hamadcha El Agoyim, after you finish the meal, after we ate. He says, with no statement, you stand up, you say, Akadosh Baruch Hu, please, pour on our enemies that they want to destroy us. What it has to do with Birkat HaMazon? He says, no, after you ate. He says, because the food resembled the food that Avraham Avinu returned. That's what the Torah emphasizes in Parshat HaLecha. Avraham Avinu was able to return the food. Not only that, the Torah continues. Avraham Avinu meets the king of Yerushalayim, Melchizedek Melech Shalem. And the king of Yerushalayim gives Avraham food and wine. Food and wine, this is the wine we drink on the night of Pesach. It happened the night of Pesach. Avraham Avinu, after the war, goes back to Yerushalayim. The middle of the night, he finished the war. He goes towards Yerushalayim. He jumped over. And said, that's Korban Pesach. You eat it with your mouth. It's to remember that Avraham Avinu, because he jumped over, he was able to bring back the food, bring back the people, bring back Lot, his brother-in-law, his nephew, that he carries the neshama of Mashiach. And let's how many times in Uziel says, that Mashiach can come any moment. But the chances on the night of Pesach is the highest that Mashiach is going to reveal himself. Because that night of Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Hizkiyahu and all of Israel who left in Yerushalayim from an army that had millions of soldiers, just 185,000 officers, as the Navi. This is the night HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah from the fire that the Mechshmon of Nebuchadnezzar threw them in. This is the night HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Daniel from the lions when the Yavish threw him inside. This is the night we came out of Egypt. This is the night when the Talmud Israel said Mashiach is going to come. As you see, Avinu saved the soul of Mashiach that was inside his brother-in-law Lot. And that's what the Torah, when you read the Torah, says, now I understand why the Torah wrote the story. So the root of Pesach is not Egypt. So we go, okay, what happened on Pesach? Pesach is the secondary story that we have in the Torah. The first thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid it in Parashat Lechat, Tam of Avraham Avinu. So while we sit down at the Seleda Seder, so Rabbi Gamliel said in the Mishnah, listen, you have to know what you're doing. It's not, you know, I ate matzah because something happened in Egypt. I ate the sacrifice of Pesach, Mashiach will come, is because we had in Egypt. He says, no. That's true. It also happened in Egypt. Why did it happen in Egypt? Because master of this plan after HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Avraham Avinu. And everything because of Avraham Avinu came down to Egypt because of Avraham. We came out with the merit of Avraham. Because Avraham was ready to give his life. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them Israel to take a sheep, it's called Shabbat HaGadol, next Shabbat. And the sheep was the god of the Egyptians. And when a Jew went to an Egyptian, he said, I want to purchase a sheep for you. I asked him, what do you need a sheep for? He said, I'm going to slaughter. You're going to slaughter my god. That thing the Gemara says Abraham Avinu had in his mind. When Abraham Avinu ran to get Lot out of captivity, he said to himself, I'm going to save him because he is my brother and is my nephew. I'm going even to be killed, but I'll try very hard to save my brother-in-law. The same concept said the Gemara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected us for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, go get, purchase a sheep, tie it to your bed, hold it for 4 days, then you slaughter it. He says, the Gemara on the Egyptians said, what are you doing to my God? What are you doing to my God? He said, my God is the sheep. He said, I'm going to slaughter your God. Then they barbecued it. Says the Gemara, the whole Egypt smelled barbecue. And it says, every Egyptian went on the street and said, what's this smell? I smell barbecue. And it says, the Jews barbecue our God. And it says, the pride that the Jews had in Egypt, and Kadosh Baruch Hu loved it so much. This is a continuation of what Avraham did. That's called Shabbat HaGadol. It's the big Shabbat. What's the big Shabbat? And so we took the sheep and we protested. And we said to our masters in Egypt, we were slaves. He said, I'm going to slaughter your God because God, my God told me to slaughter your God. And we have 100% emunah, says the Gemara, Ve'elchu ve'yaminu. And says, Am Yisrael believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says, this is how redemption is going to be. And says, it doesn't matter what those animals say, that you know they're going to go to Israel May 15. And it says, it's a plisha. I went to Israel, they're all talking about it. I don't know if you know it, Mr. Albert. May 15. All the Arabs are saying they're going to pray in Al-Aqsa. 350,000 already signed up. May 15. And they're going to be dead, like they died in time of Sanherib, all around Yerushalayim, and Meshach Kamar and Menamim. Chag Sameach, next week Mr. Levy is going to be in Israel. So the next lecture in Englewood is going to be after Pesach.
If Mashiach comes,
no, the Pesach, the last day of Pesach is